Current podcast.
Current podcast.
Current podcast. Find us everywhere you listen to podcasts. Now you get to see what it takes to create something for y'all to listen to and watch. I hope y'all appreciate it. Let's get it.
Look, in Bukele's point, I think if you ask Salvadorians, they're gonna say that the change was it was more faster than because even like they make a big deal of a president in the United States, his first 100 days. What is he gonna do in his first 100 days, right? Mm-hmm. Bukele, like that right there. I think that guy in 100 days did some shit that he got so much pushback. That's what I remember seeing a lot of in the news, that this guy was getting pushback from the other side, like that they were calling him a dictator. Even right here, they were starting to call him that.
Well, they called him a dictator because he was being very stern in his positions, and being stern in his positions. Like, for example, one that was a huge controversy for a lot of people was this was later in his. This was like about, I don't want to say about a year ago or earlier in the year, where he destroyed the tombstones of gang members. And people were offended because it's like you're destroying the tombstone of someone that passed away. And his argument towards that was it's not that he wanted to disrespect the dead or disrespect the people that had passed away. His argument was, I'm trying to destroy the iconography of the gangs. Mm-hmm. He's like, and those tombstones have the iconography of gangs. He's like, so if I want to eradicate this image and this idea, I need to destroy that. But that's that's something that's very sensitive to a lot of people.
That's pretty hardcore.
And that's what I'm saying. That's why people call him a dictator, because he's very stern on his point.
One thing that he said is like, why are we glorifying the murderers when the innocent people bloodshed has been, you know, has been shed, blood has been shed from innocent lives, and we're crying about destroying some
tombstones.
Like, I just don't, you could put them a plaque, you could put them in whatever. Yeah. I just don't want nothing to glorify them. And he was starting to feel like some of them, they were getting some type of like, you know, they were adorning certain things in certain ways that he didn't appreciate. But and I understand that.
But he went to even the more extreme thing, where even in his speech, he said in Germany, after the Nazi regime, he's like, Germany, in order to recover, they had to destroy that iconography. Not only had they had to destroy that iconography, they had to make it as if it never existed, so that the new generation wouldn't even practice that or do that. So he even goes to that extreme to take that example.
The psychology in that, it might sound cruel, but
to then explain why he's doing this to eradicate the imagery of gangs in El Salvador.
But do you stand on the side of,
It's extreme.
It's also
It's understandable.
Sometimes I know to cut it, you got to go directly to the source. It's hard to like piggyback or jump over things if you want to just destroy it from, you know, there is a solution, but it's just, it's hardcore. Like you said, it is extreme, you know, like.
I mean, remember Duarte in Philippines? This guy was killing drug addicts
and drug dealers. Right. He was going.
That's extreme. If El Salvador, if a guy on the Western Hemisphere was doing that, the United States for sure is getting involved.
Well, I mean, you got to also remember that when they released the videos of what he was doing to the gang members. I remember when he released the video of when he transported gang members from one prison to a bigger prison that he made. Everybody was talking about human rights because of the way he was sitting them on, the way he had piled them. And everybody was like talking human rights. And he's like, well, his argument was, who wants these prisoners? Who wants them? I'll drop them off. You can give them all the human rights you want. What country wants to take them? And that's when everybody kind of like, backs
those
off.
Were the worst of the worst that he was.
Exactly.
They want to judge it from afar, from the West. They want to look at things surface level and be like, oh, it's like, well, you don't even know from the beginning. You don't even know what it's like putting up with all this. Like,
One example I've given before, and I always go back to that because I just thought it was sad, was my dad went to his country like a few years after he had already, I think it was like 10 years, but this was before his regime. He went and he couldn't even visit the cemetery where his father was buried, because the gangsters would charge toll because you couldn't be somewhere where they didn't know you. And if they knew you weren't from there, they would try to mess with you to get more, get money out of you. So he couldn't even travel. He couldn't even visit. Then he went back last year. He went back. This time he could do it. But it's like, those are the things where I'm like, it's crazy how like he couldn't even do a simple thing as visiting a cemetery. He couldn't even travel around
Has your dad hasn't gone back? He has gone.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was there with my mom this year.
What is a man that he's seen the United States, the El Salvador, in many states?
The thing that's crazy to me, this is one of the things that I find. Let me tell you some things that I find fascinating. My dad, since I was a kid, has always told me to stay away from politics. The reason that he's like, don't invest too much time in it, and this is the reason why, was because he experienced the civil war in his country. And he used to drive for politicians in his country. He was a driver for them. So he got to see how they were inside of the house and got to see how, like, to people they would represent different parties, but they were all friends. So he's like, they're showing a facade. Mm-hmm. So he always taught me that. But here's the fascinating thing, which, like, the change of thought. This is a fascinating thing. When Bukele came into power, my dad got fascinated. Now this man spends time, because he's retired,
watching
the politics of El Salvador. He knows more of the politics of El Salvador than what's going on in the U.S. I'll come home and he'll be like, oh man, so this and this and this politician, this and this is going on. And I'm like, man.
Yeah.
You don't even live over there, but you're like invested, bro.
But that's what kind of goes into the question.
But that's what you're asking me. How does he see it now? That's my answer to you. It's like, right, this man is invested in the country. He's already telling me. He's like, hey, because he's a dual citizen. So he's like, oh, we got to go vote. We got to go vote on this day. We got to go do this.
But that's what my second question would be. Like, would the United States benefit from a younger man in presidency, or would it benefit from like the old guard still?
As far as our president?
Our president. Because I feel like just to see a country so small like that dominating.
That's the other factor. He was able to implement those changes because the country's small. That's another argument.
True, for sure.
Because it would be harder to do that in a country of this scale.
Exactly.
Yeah, bro. But when I think about it, we're still not the size of India, China, Russia. Like, those countries have massive populations. Russia's kind of dwindling.
India, I think, is a bigger India's population. India is
the hugest population. And mm-hmm. they're definitely coming, you know, for the world domination.
But that's a class system, too, which is, I think, it's even harder.
What do we think? Implement. We think we need to go young, like a guy like Vivek.
Say the name.
Newsom.
Flying V.
Who else? DeSantis, or do we need to go with Trump, Biden?
I definitely think
RFK
post 75, especially Biden in the 80s. It's just like, eventually see now, like, it becomes a factor. You know, you're not going to lie to me and tell me Biden's not taking a list full of freaking meds and that day-to-day operations
to be functional,
just functioning. You know? Yeah. I'm not going to remember everything. There's no way you can tell me that. And especially with that background in healthcare, like, I know what meds most likely he is taking. But I like, you know, Vivek, yeah, some people see his views as extreme. But I mean, honestly, I think if implemented correctly, I think there could be, you know, because he's resonating with a lot of the youth. You know, a lot of people do understand where he's coming from, and they like what he's saying. But anyone north of 75, 80, even in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, like, it's just, you got to.
There got to be a new legislation where we stop that, like, the age limit.
Well, the thing is that the reason that we chose older people, especially back in the day, and it's more of a tribal thought.
Yeah. No,
it's basically the elders know the knowledge, right? That's tribal thought. But in today's age, it doesn't work anymore because we know younger people know more information than the older crowd does.
Right.
So, right? Like, that's the invention of the internet.
I wouldn't necessarily think that's true. What I would think is the cabinet needs to be old and the face needs to be
young. I think the youth is more open-minded.
Yeah, right.
That's what a lot of this clash. They always want to say it's Republicans versus Democrats. No, it's more so the young generation versus the older generation of thought.
Right,
but it's also blended. I don't even think like there's a full. I mean, yes, there's extremes, right? There's people because that swing.
DeSantis sounds like an old motherfucker, bro. The way he talks. Like,
he's oblivious to a lot of
things. The side you're trying to pick up on is the old farts that might die in the next 3 years in your presidency.
But then again, they're the ones with the money.
Yeah, that's the thing too, bro. Boom. In the party, they got their donors.
Yeah, and
play with them. Yeah,
and it's like, just because you can get the younger crowd doesn't mean that you get the money.
Right.
So that's another factor that you got to think
first
about.
First you get the money, then you get the power.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, it's unfair.
Yeah, so it's like his ideas to me are ridiculous, but I understand that he's catering to a certain group. And that group, unfortunately, has the funds in order to, like, help him out in that way.
So who's getting the biggest funding right now, independently, do you know?
For all the candidates, that's a good one, bro. Haley's getting paid.
Damn.
You didn't catch the debate, but yeah, he was, like, calling out her donors. They were
Right. He said that. I did see that in the highlight.
He was putting her on blast, you know, and whether it's true or it's not true, but a lot of them, like, they have a lot of deals, you know, with special interests behind the scenes and, like, a lot of the donors. And so they want to get, like, their policies pushed. And so you got to kind of – and that's why people like Vivek, because he just calls it out like it is, you know, sugarcoating anything.
And he got his own money too, right?
He has his own money. He's been very successful. And I think it was in pharmaceuticals, right? He had a pharmaceutical company or business. I forgot what
I think exactly he did was. Some type of hedge fund type shit too.
Yeah, so – he's funding like Trump, funding it all by yourself, you know, and you don't have to answer to anybody. You can just be yourself and be real with the people. And, you know, like that goes a long way. That's why a lot of people are flipping. They're liking Trump now because now they're, you know, everyone's gunning for him. And
I think it has to do with like basically the cost of living.
That, yeah.
Because cost of living is too high right now.
Mm.
And you know that's a guy that's going to bring that down.
Yeah.
It's like, I always tell people and go back to like when he was in charge.
Damn, that's like giving that much power.
If you go back to when he was in charge, if COVID doesn't happen, he would have been successful in changing the economy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like COVID happened and then he never could fulfill what he needed to do.
I can't even see that light because the COVID sun is so fucking bright covering that like thought. You know, because it's you. Mm-hmm. You might be right. You might be fucking
no, but it's like if you remember the economy.
I don't see it because it's like dog. Like
if you COVID remember, just
came and flipped that. No, shit
it
on
flipped
his head.
Everything. You know,
like,
no,
it
I
had
agree.
Been like it's somebody from the deep state that he calls that came in and pushed a button like, yo, code red. We got to flip this shit on his head. This guy's.
But you know what it was though, too, Lorenzo. It's the fact that Trump had a factor that we haven't had that factor in a president. I feel since like maybe HW. And I'm talking about that you fear the leader. Like, there's three factors that I was seeing PBD talk about. He was talking about respecting a leader, fearing him, and then charismatic. Right. And then he's talking about how Ronald Reagan had all three. Trump has the fear factor. Obama had the charismatic, you could say a little bit of more respect type of thing, but people didn't necessarily fear him. Biden has none of them.
Yep.
Boom.
You know what I mean?
That's why we don't even talk about him.
I think that what you're alluding to, Manny, and like with Trump and all that, like, he had set, like, you can say a healthy fear when it comes to the U.S. Like, we can't fuck with the U.S. right now because there's someone in power right now that has his hand on the button. He'll probably press.
First of all, the military hadn't received the renovation it needed until he came into power. He renewed a lot of the military's power.
Come on, he started the fucking space military, bro.
We're
fighting aliens now, motherfucker? Damn.
The alien.
Take out that one Iranian general.
Oh, yeah, that guy he did the general.
Soleimani or whatever.
Well, he didn't do it, the army and all that.
Yeah.
Nah, he pressed the button. He said, yeah, go ahead. They showed the video when he was like,
he picked up the phone and said yes, and then he hung up, and then he sees it on the screen happen, bro.
I was like, what? This is a bad man right here.
He was like, he died a cowardly death.
Yeah, like all they found was his finger and his ring on his finger. Yeah. He said, I was like, shit.
Yeah, they ain't playing with it.
But also, the first one that was able to calm Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Not only them,
Korea.
Korea. No one had ever gone to visit. And he was able to do it. So he did a lot of things.
But
like,
again, I think that even that part again is the I feel like again it's not like people are like are scared of this, but it's like we gotta respect them out of fear out of this type of thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because the Korea thing and the Russia thing and all that stuff. For sure, the Russia thing, the Korea thing. I think he was like, I also feel like he was trying to just calm stuff down. Like, we don't have to go into all this destruction and all that stuff. We can if y'all want to, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we don't have to, basically. And I feel like that's a parallel of like of things that we're seeing in the Middle East. I mean, he even brought them together at some point.
Yeah, the Abraham Accords.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That guy with Saudi Arabia. Yeah.
He started that right there.
I mean, The fact too that we had a pipeline with Canada to get oil.
I know.
And then as soon as Biden comes in, oh, destroy that. We're going back to Saudi. That those are things where it's like he already had changed that in order for fuel to be efficient for us so that we didn't have to pay that much.
I know.
But it's like, all right, let's go back to the Saudis.
Depending on, or Iran.
Yeah.
And just, you know.
So there's a lot of things where I'm like, well, this guy, even though a lot of people might have not liked him, he showed a lot of things can be done in a different manner. Mm. Right? So, and it's... That's what people want. Well, they want to change. They want a different cost of living.
I think you would agree with me, right, Paul? That Donald Trump gave people a certain card to play that they could, that they, another president hadn't gave people this card to, maybe like my brother says, George W. Bush. Like, mm-hmm. It gave people that card to, like, I can be openly racist because my president and my leader, although not openly racist, is very prejudiced, is very judgmental, comes off very strong and everything.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting to see, like, now we got a president like Biden, and he's very soft and numb and dull and, like, and, you know, we don't
nobody
even...
Nobody talks about him.
Nobody there's not even, like, national pride.
Nah.
Like, back then, people were racist because they were like, I'm American. Like, it's like, and I'm like, bro, you're still part of the human race. Like, why are you acting like you're better? You know? But it's like, now, it's like, bro, nobody gives a fuck about us. No. They damn near, like, looking at other countries. I just seen something with El Salvador. It's like, when the vice president was telling people to go back. We need you back. I know the civil war, the last 30 years, all this happened, but... They want their GDP back. They're like, yo, bring that fucking workforce back over here because we lost all that in a war that it was corrupted. And then now it's like, I look at us like as Americans, where would we go? We can't go nowhere.
Yeah, there's nowhere to go.
The fuck?
We're standing right here.
You know what I'm saying? If we get dropped nukes from Russia or whatever, or China, and now I'm seeing that there's like, they just put a threat out. I don't know if you saw it on ABC News that they were saying that there's like there's like Hamas threats out here now. They got sleeper cells and
they're
shit.
They're coming through the border.
And like they're coming through the border. Have you seen that?
The FBI came for it. No. The director came for it like last week or something and was making statements.
And
about
like, yeah, like be very cautious of public areas and all this. And I'm just like, y'all know this shit, but y'all just want shit to happen and crack so that then you can further take my rights down the line. Because that's the way I see it. It's been done before.
Yeah, like they were insane. Even some people that got through, like even it was Hamas or Hezbollah, and then they were on the terrorist watch list, bro, with the FBI. They've caught a couple, or at least one, that was on the list. So there's fools getting through. I'm sure they're here, bro. So it's like high alert is definitely certain, especially now. I don't think tensions are ever going to cool down, at least not in the short-term future. It's just going to be slowly. It's just too much tension. Then you got Venezuela just beefing up. Ready to go. I want this.
You seen that?
And they're just about to take Guyana and just swap and
I'm surprised we haven't talked about it, bro. Yeah. But that is wild when you were talking about it the other day.
No, he's like, fuck it. I'm taking it. I don't care. And then Guyana, I saw, I think the president came forward and said something. You know, he said, he's like, listen, hey, we're an independent democratic nation. You know, chill. Like, we're
but check
stand.
This out. What if this is a stunt from like that side of the world of that Axis powers, let's call it, right? Mm-hmm. That... they're trying to create so many conflicts that United States needs to start getting involved in because we think we police everything. And then they overstretch our military.
Well, our military is already stretched. Not only that, you guys, to bring it back to when Trump wanted to raise the military people. And there was not like our country, unfortunately, is too obese to have enough men. They don't even have enough men that are joining. There's not enough pride in the country to want to say, let me be a military person. So that's another thing is like soldiers, they can't even fill the quota of what they need per year. Right. But
that's
now.
How they kill guys like they kill and assassinate people's characters like Kevin Samuels or Andrew Tate, you know, because that's the workforce. That's the soldiers. That's the people that, you know, if you wake up those people, they're not going to fucking. So they try to shut all that people down. You know,
you think Tate going to war, bro? You think Tate, if it came down to it, Tate's putting arms and going
for
going,
which country?
Strapping boots and going over there?
Because he got dual season. He's from the UK. Was born in Indiana, I believe. He was born here.
Yeah, he was born here, technically.
But
but that's the thing. Like, a free thinker like that, that's like, why would you even ask that? He's a free thinker. He's not going to go fight another man's war. It has nothing personal with him.
I think it's like Gen Z is.
That's why I think. That's why I think what's sad about what's going on in the Israel-Palestine conflict is that,
we're creating people like a kid that saw somebody, you know, get just,
I know,
you know, they're gonna, the fire that builds into somebody like that is like, damn, bro, like we don't know what we're building, we're creating with that.
That's crazy. I was talking to a friend of mine today, and he was, we went into a very deep conversation about this, and he's Jewish himself. Mm-hmm. And one thing that he showed me was it was like a Time magazine from like the 70s, 60s, and it was kids, Arab kids already being trained and whatnot to, with have, guns and all that stuff.
I have the videos. It's in their graduation ceremony.
Yeah, they, this is in the 70s. You know what? You know whatnot. And this is these are when he was showing me, basically, he's like, these are the people that are fighting right now.
Damn.
You know, all that type of,
yeah, hold
so,
up.
So what? It's like, and it's like, these are the kids that were in the 70s and all that stuff. So he's showing that, like, now 50 years later, like, they're the ones leading the charge on all this and whatnot. So it's like, it definitely is one thing. Like, he also told me something about the prime minister, I think in the 80s, it was a lady, and she said, in order for there to be peace in the Middle East, I'm going to butcher this completely, yeah, but basically what she said was, if Israel puts their weapons, or if the, yeah, Arabs put, if the Palestinians put their weapons down first, there's peace. If Israel puts their weapons down, there's no more Israel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's what she said.
Golda Meir, I think, was the,
yeah,
prime,
exactly,
minister.
And then afterwards, yeah, what she said after was, if the Arabs were the Palestinians were to love their kids more than they hate Israel, then there would be peace.
I told you this the other day. We're talking about it, bro. Where I feel like the reason why there's no peace there is because everybody divided is like at war. Like, when they're divided in the Middle East, there's peace. Mm. But when they unite all together, there's just war with Israel. Like, so I feel like it's a weird conflict when all these other nations around Israel are all at war with each other. But once you start seeing these alliances build, then they look and just point at the one person, mm-hmm, that, you know, it's like, oh, let's just point at this people, you know, and it sounds fucked up, but this is the reality. And then when I start seeing like the population that they have, what, they got 15 million people in Israel?
In Israel, a little over 9 million.
Damn, 9 million. So,
and one fifth is Arab. 20% of their, at least, yeah, 25% is Arab.
When
Arab,
I hear Israeli, that, like, if they lose 22 people, it's like losing 1,000 people.
Yeah. That's why they're doing they equated for the 9/11 was like 30,000.
Right, exactly. And that shit just makes me feel like, hold up, that shit's fucking, yeah, cruel. But then, like, there's other sides that I hear other people come in the shop and tell me the other side, and I'm just like, bro, like, yeah. And then I see the images, mm-hmm, and I'm like, when is there somebody going to just speak up and be like, it's not worth it? But then with this information that you're telling me, that, that's why there might be these like groups that take over these schools and teach all this stuff, so, because they train them, basically, is what it sounds like, that they're using these schools as training grounds, yeah, also.
This the guy told me this other story too, where there was they're in the Gaza Strip and whatnot, and there's this basically, think about it like this, bro, me and you as brothers, Enzo, and you see me hanging around with a certain group of people that they're pushing ideology that, you know, is like wrong and sus and all that stuff. So what he does as an older brother is he grabs his little brother. He's like, let's go. And he's like, where are we going? He's like, just get in the car. Let's go. Gets in the car, drives him to Tel Aviv. Gets to Tel Aviv and he starts showing him all the cafes, showing him the businesses, showing him the lifestyle of all the way that they're living in Israel. Like, you know, like an actual society and all that type of, right, stuff. He's like, this is what we want for our people. He was like, but they don't want this. Mm-hmm. They want us to have so much animosity, so much hate towards Israel, instead of building the up the people and building up the country and actually making a, and he was just, and it just made me start looking at this, because it's, I feel like in lots of ways I don't have a side to this, because, yeah, it's not my battle. I hate that kids have to die and all that stuff, but when you start to understand a lot more of the history of all this stuff and whatnot, another thing he told me was,
before you go to the next story, you saying that a Palestinian older brother got the younger brother that was chilling with the sus crowd.
Yeah.
And took him to Tel Aviv so he could see what they live like. And he's like, this is what we should be living like.
Yeah.
But they got us fighting down here.
Yeah.
Instead of,
because of the hatred towards Israel, instead of prospering our people and whatnot.
So they're too busy hating instead of trying to progress.
Yeah. And one thing that he was telling me was how Israel would go out and they would literally go build this for these people down in Gaza Strip. They would go do it in a day, go do it for them. But the fact is that they don't want that. At least the Hamas and all that stuff, they don't want that. They basically don't. They'd rather let their people perish than to give Israel credit. Yeah,
the moment the Israelis left Gaza, they immediately burnt down the greenhouses they had set up for them and several other infrastructures.
And it's crazy because one thing that he also told me was that all the food and resources come from Israel to Gaza Strip.
A lot of it, so yeah.
But that's where the Palestinians were saying that's the occupation, that they're occupying it.
Hamas wanted to say, because they're occupying, it's on them to govern and to take care of
these
things.
But that's something that in that region, there was never that infrastructure to begin with.
Yeah, it wasn't. Like, Israel supports them the way they can. I think the Palestinian Authority is also, who governs the West Bank, they also have always had their hand in Gaza. They've been helping with infrastructure. They pay a lot of people for salaries. They take care of the water bill, electrical bill from the prime minister's mouth himself. So they've been helping a lot too, but Hamas was supposed to be the governing body to help them.
They got voted in.
You know, they voted them in. And yeah, it was a long over 15 plus years of just growing, you know, of that hate. And it, you know.
And it's something that another thing they told me that is that, like, for example, we're talking about this, Enzo. Israel does get a lot of money from the U.S., from other countries and whatnot. Yeah, for sure. But that region in Palestine, as it's been growing since the 80s, or being recognized at least, they've also have received money. But their money goes towards, you know,
No, they get the money in. They dig up the pipes underneath the floor, underneath the ground. They turn it into bombs. And yeah, just today they released the IDF released a video of a training facility behind a mosque, inside of a mosque.
Yeah,
they're showing the guns and they're just shooting, taking, you know, a target practice.
And that's where I'm kind of just like, again, from an outsider's perspective, I'm like, you're putting your people in the line of fire. I've also seen things where they have tunnels under hospitals and all that type of stuff. They've put missiles, like launched missiles from schools.
Kids' rooms, yeah.
So it's kind of like those type of things where I'm just like, you're putting your own people in the line of fire. And again, when we go back to the beginning of this conflict, or at least at the beginning, I mean, when this exact battle happened, I would say that it was they attacked, what was it, a music festival?
Yeah.
They came into what did it come into Tel Aviv, or where was it?
No, it wasn't in Tel Aviv. No, it was like in the next to the
the south of Israel. They got breached
in the West Bank.
Right? Question: yeah, you guys don't think that the Mossad or the whatever their intelligence
CIA type of group, equivalent?
Yeah, you don't think they can do type of operations where they infiltrate groups and take them out?
I think they still got some people in there, but it's not, you know what I mean, like these guys are very well funded, they've been trained. So they've caught a couple Mossads, they've caught a couple Israeli agents that have been, that's the best way to do it, give them intelligence of where they're at, where they're located, but they catch them. And they just killed a couple just not too long ago for trying to help them get hostages out. The Hamas caught on and executed a couple of them. So, and even just in the West Bank, just a few weeks ago, in the West Bank, bro, they killed two people live in front of everyone. And Palestinian Authority governs it. It has nothing to do with IDF. They didn't do anything. They grabbed these two fools that were helping Israel, trying to locate Hamas, and they hung them in front of everybody, bro. And everyone was just filming on the cameras, all the Palestinians. So it's like, it's very fucked up.
So,
you know?
So one thing too is that, I believe also the I don't know how you say it, but this argument of it not being Israel's land, that it's belongs to,
the argument of all arguments.
Okay, so strong. This is the one thing that
we can even go biblical with it, right, Manny?
Having the conversation, what happened?
I mean, that conversation could even go biblical, because
it depends on if you want to take in the Bible, like, and. You know, but even so, like, ancient artifacts have been found all throughout the region of, you know, old school. All
right, so if we're saying biblically, Manny, would you say that biblically that land was promised to Israel or to the people of Israel?
Promise, or were they there before?
Well, it's the promised land. It's the promised land. They were never there before. Technically, they entered and conquered it.
The Canaanites were there before.
Canaanites.
They weren't Jews before back then. They had become Jews when Moses with the commandments and everything. All throughout the region, before Islam, Judaism was over 1,000 years prior to Islam. So the pagan rituals and they weren't, you know, and everything got established there.
Too, it's like Islam is what, like a 5,000
year? During the time of the Crusaders is when Islam gets into Israel.
And that's something, so the Crusaders, where are they from, Manny?
Spain.
Spain, right?
Yeah.
So that was something that my friend told me too, that the Spain were also trying to really like push Christianity on the Jewish people as well.
Yeah.
So the Jewish people had to leave. A lot of Europeans, especially in Spain and in Portugal, because those kings were pushing that hard. So they went to the
you got to remember
they went to the Ottoman Empire where they had more of a religious open belief,
and that's like, the Turkish Empire.
And they, but he was telling me that they were taxing him 10%.
Yeah,
but it was like it's better to pay at 10% than to be persecuted.
Yeah, they just tax him, let him be on the land, and that's
And then after World War One is when the Ottoman Empire falls. Is when things get. And look, this is honestly history that I got put onto today.
This is the whole world, bro. I mean, literally nobody knows it.
But this is some things that again I be seeing people post things online, and it's like. Again, I'm not my understanding right now is not to say fuck these people or fuck.
Right.
Like, it's not to say that at all. It's just to understand, and I feel like a lot of people just start saying stuff.
It's, you're gathering context,
and it's so that. And again, I hate that kids are being the ones that are perishing, but I feel like it's a propaganda that's being used to like kind of get to our soft spots. Like,
but I know that's always used. Think about the children. Yeah, they always say they think about the children.
And that's the thing exactly too. Like, well, that's my friend said today. He's like. Exactly. Think about the children. Why are you putting your own children in this situation type of thing?
Yeah,
you
know that's true.
And that's why, again, he points it back to what that prime minister said. First, they have to love their kids more than they hate Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me was like, bro, mind blowing. And this, again, words from a prime minister back in the 80s, not mine.
You got to get that vengeance out. It's unfortunate, you know, but it's like, whatever you want to call about, like, people coming in.
Have you faced anything, like, any backlash since you're Jewish, bro? As of
currently, no. I haven't heard enough. Ain't nobody gonna tell me shit.
Thank God, bro, because...
But it's like, you know, they always pick on the weaklings, you know, or they get this little thrill rush out of ripping off a kidnapped poster off the fucking pole. Like, what is it? You know what I mean? Like, what does it do? What does that do? And they're just ripping it off, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right, because there's like a college movement out here, I don't get it. Where it's like,
You know what I mean? College. Like, put up posters or do what you want for a Palestinian side. Like,
I have rip it down. Like, I'm a Christian, and just having people, I know Manny can attest to this, that we know people that have gone to Israel and visited. And I think one of the most beautiful things that I have seen from images is seeing people of mixed religions go to the wall and pray together.
It's a beautiful sight
to see. It's a holy land for a reason. It's not just, you know what I mean? And I think that's a very, very powerful thing that I'm like, you know, I think that people don't realize. And again, like you said, 20% of the population is Arab, is Muslim.
Yeah. And equal rights. People want to sit there and try to say they don't get this. No, they're treated fairly just as an Israeli citizen.
Exactly what I hear and all that. Okay. And one thing, for example, I went to school where there was a lot of, I was surrounded by a lot of Jewish people. And I noticed that. When they turned 18, they went back to Israel and served a year. And I'm like, some of those people have gone back right now because of this.
Yeah, they're on the reserve list for the military.
And it's kind of like, man, and I'm seeing people from my high school posting sometimes some stuff. And I'm like, you got to realize that you're there's people within your circle, you didn't even realize it, that are going back and fighting this fight right now.
Yeah.
And I think that when it comes to like the rules of I guess you could say of war, if Hamas would have like attacked like a military base or something like that, or, like, I guess I believe it would have been fair play, right?
100% fair play. Would not, no one had any issue at all. And they did. Like, I thought that's all they were doing when the video started coming out, because they did go after an army base and they were going after soldiers, and then they weren't.
Then it was,
and then they went 90% was majority of it was all innocent children and shit. And then that's when they lost.
What got me was when one of the Hamas was walking through the streets in Israel or wherever they were in the West Bank. And they straight openly shot a dog, bro. That was just...
Yeah, so, yeah.
Bro, that pissed me the fuck off.
Bro. It's just, you know, just took advantage of the situation. It's that inhumane side where it's like, oh, I can get away with something. And then you're just like, are you going to be civil or not civil? And there are a lot of fools that were not fucking civil, bro. And all these rape cases are coming out now, and it's like...
If I'm being honest, if I got any beef with anybody, if I'm really going to say it, it's Hamas. It's not
Muslim
people or anything like that.
100%.
It's not Palestinian people. Palestinian.
And that's what Israel tried to make it very clear, like a Hamas.
So you're saying you're standing on business?
Even if we go back to Bukele once again. Bukele is a descendant of Palestinians. And when this whole situation started, even he said, he came out with a statement and said,
bro,
that Hamas...
That statement itself got me in trouble. There was a Palestinian client that I had just met, and I don't have nothing against Palestinians.
I would say the statement before.
Right. I don't have nothing against Palestinians, but the Salvadorian president is Palestinian descent. I think I had told you about the story. The statement basically said that if you remove, like, he removed the MS-13 from the Salvadorian people so that the Salvadorian people can prosper and progress, right? He said it's the same equivalent if you remove the Hamas group from the Palestinian people, the world will see how good the Palestinian people truly are. That's what he said.
that they're not the same.
That they're not the same. I reposted the statement, and I got one person that was Palestinian backlash, and it was crazy because we had just talked about how he was Christian and all this, but I was like, you're saying you're Christian, but you spewing this much hate, like, towards one group of people.
Yeah, it's like they don't know. Like, it's okay to renounce them. Like, it doesn't make you a traitor to the Palestinians or the cause or anything like that. Like, you can renounce that. Like, you can support the Palestinian Authority or, like, you know, any other positive. I even, you know, like, there's a diplomat, I forget his name, for the UK. He's, you know, there's good men. I just was watching them from their prime minister earlier today, from Mohammed, or his last name, but they're good men. There's good people there, bro. It's just like they have that cancer, that fester that has been sitting there for generations and has never been dealt with. And the reason why it has never been dealt with, because this needs to happen. And look what happens. So it's going to be that hard push, and then it'll be a rebuild.
Another thing too, that, you know? that when they people say that this was Palestine first and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that he showed me is that there was a Palestine currency, like, back in, like, mm-hmm. the 50s and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And he showed me pictures of it and all that stuff, and even postages. Mm-hmm. So it'll even say Israel, like, right before
in Hebrew, land of Israel.
Yes.
On the bottom of that gold coin, yep, where it says Palestine.
Right on their currency, bro. So it's
because the territory was the Philistines, right? And it was it's been different.
But they were mostly Greek. Like, the Palestinians that are currently there do not have any association with the Philistines. They reference them as, so it's misleading when they say but Philistine it's because in Arabic.
This person was telling me this, but so they were trying to hold. I feel like they're trying to hold on to that to say that this is where they have always been.
So I'm not going to say that that's. But see, the coining of the phrase of the Palestinian identity, the nationalism movement, really started in the 50s. They wanted to make Palestinian an identity to show, like, hey, we've been here. We are these people.
This is another thing, too. They have a seat in the UN, but they don't get a vote.
They are represented, but it's not a full-fledged country. So they don't do a technicality. Like a, yeah, they're missing things. Even they have like a military, and they don't have a lot of things. Huh? Yeah.
They have an ear in the room is what they have.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. There's a territory. They haven't.
And I think it's necessary. Absolutely, of course, have a voice. And these are the people that are more, you know, like, responsible. Like, some in the PLO. But, yeah, Hamas is not at the table talking to, like, you know, big U.S. or any of the Western countries. And, you know, it's, like, it's not hard to pick this who's point trustworthy.
With this hostage situation, right?
Yeah.
Biden supposedly is like, I can't give too much information, and it's funny how you hear people in the background kind of tell him to shut up, like, bro, you're talking too much, like,
yeah, blinking, he keeps looking at him blinking, he's like,
yeah, yeah. Like, bro, like,
yeah,
just shut the fuck up, it's a hostage situation, why would you even bring this up?
And like, sketchy, bro, it's like they're still well over, they didn't even release like half of them. I hope they're all good, bro. Yeah. But it's and like, it's been some time.
One thing too that my friend was telling me too,
and it was also done during a time of peace, wasn't it? Because during that time, you guys, it's one of your guys' festivities.
Oh yeah, it was a holiday. Simchat Torah was right after
Yom Kippur, no?
Yeah, Yom Kippur. Oh yeah, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and then Simchat Torah. Mm-hmm.
That's when you guys begin your whole forgiveness, right?
Yeah, it's the repenting and your new year.
You guys do your forgiveness in order, and I believe you guys take
giving
it to
sins.
But that's why, like,
it's Hanukkah right now.
Yeah.
Which I just found out that it was Hanukkah goes back to when it was a conflict with the Greeks, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, their fighting was the Maccabees, and they had like enough oil that it shouldn't have lasted them more than like a night, and it lasted 8. So that's the story, and they go by. That's why you see the menorah, and it, like, that's the association with Hanukkah. The story.
No, it's a beautiful culture. Like, if like, to be honest, when I was a kid, I remember learning about that in school. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's like, it's a beautiful culture that sadly, you know, some people in the world
got a really bad rep, bro. They did not like the Jews anywhere. But they got kicked out of every fucking place.
It's sad because I've heard in the past, I remember in high school, one of my teachers was like, oh, it's because, like, between him and I, it was like I love history. So when I would talk to him, it'd be like just me and him at the end of class. And he's like, they don't like them because they killed Jesus. They that's what he would say, and like that's why. And I'm just like, I would look at him like, man,
I was a Roman's name, but
I mean, like, I but that's what he would say is because they were the one that pushed for it and all that, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what I hit him back with, like, trust me, like, I knew my history, so I was like, technically it was a Romans, and he was like, nah, but they were the ones that, like, the Pharisees was pushing for it, and they were, he would, because the way he broke it down, that he was like, they had painted him as the false god or like the false messiah or whatever, like that he wasn't the chosen one, and he was like, nah, I am, but they didn't see it that way, right?
So nah, I mean,
that's if, what he
if
was
you go really
up, I'm sure would
if you that. Really go into history, and I think that's what a lot of people miss the point, because they don't look at the history when they read the Bible. The message of Jesus was something that should automatic, like the moment you begin reading the book of Mark, the first few sentences let you know this guy's gonna die.
Ooh.
And that's because when you get into the language
parts,
the language that is being used in those in the opening chapter, it has to do basically everything that they're attributing to him, the way that they're talking about him, is letting you know that he's describing himself greater than the emperor. There are words that are used and attributed to describe the emperor of Rome. To say that you are the son of God, that's the emperor of Rome.
Right,
yeah.
Like, no, that's why I'm like, don't you... People don't know history. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, but that's also something where I can see the Pharisees...
Because you should know that the Roman Empire is going to execute him. From the moment that you begin to hear the message, from the moment that you understand that he's calling himself the son of God and all these descriptors right, that they give him.
Like, in like that first Jesus
to even call himself a messiah, that's attributed to the emperor.
Even when I first saw that first, what was it? That like one of those first Jesus movies that Passion? I saw. No, it wasn't The Passion. It was like one of the first, it was like older than that. But one of the things was that like the Pharisees was clear, like pleading to the Roman guy in charge at that time, like, don't you see? He's like, he's taking your place. He's trying to say he's greater than you and all this. And I remember
once again, it's going to the idea because the
Hebrew people in that time were conquered by Rome at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
at that point,
yeah,
exactly.
Yes.
So that's why
that land was occupied.
They were kind of like blanketing. We're like, yo, this guy's coming to take your spot too. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but. Yeah. That's what he said. That's like, why the world now hates him, because the group of people. But who's to say? You know what I'm saying? Because then people like, you know, Hitler that came around and started saying this other shit for why he hated them.
That's a stereotype that's been used against them for the longest. It's a stereotype that's been used.
What do you mean?
And it's the stereotype that Hitler used of talking about they control the economies and they
like
and it's a speech that
But you saw what Pat Ben David said when he just talked to when he was talking to the son of the Iranian prince. And he's like, what do you think about how the Shah said this to what, the ABC or NBC back in the 80s, where he was like,
controlling the press,
control and all that, you know,
and referenced it a little bit
right after that. Boom, they take him out of power. Like,
yeah, I mean, there are some sketchy things out there, you know. I'm not gonna put anything past our, you know, government or any other government.
I think something that my friend was telling me too after the Holocaust and everything, because he's 60 years old, so he spoke to a lot of people that were Holocaust survivors and all that stuff, and he was talking about how like their whole thing was never again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't ever let this again happen to our people and all that stuff. So I feel like that's also why when something goes down or someone attacks Israel or something like that, this is what he was telling me. Like, there's Ashkenazi Jews, there's all types of different Jews, and they like
Persian Jews.
They all
they're from Spain.
Yeah, and what he says is that they all have their opinion about each other. And they all might not like each other, but when something like this goes down, they all unite, and it's like,
it's automatic, bro.
You know what I mean? Exactly.
Like, so that's all size. They sound in on business.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. Like, Jews don't hate the Germans. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would say there's aggression for a different multiple ethnic groups, and they don't carry the vengeance with them for, you know, moving forward. It's eventually you guys, you know, everyone has to kind of just like move on and, you know, become better.
Bro, you were telling me one time, we were talking maybe a month ago, tell me about a little bit about that guy that you said that you saw that was Arab, and then he was talking about David and King David, and then you were like, oh, this guy's saying that this is their land, and like, remember the guy you kind of showed me a video kind of a little bit on, you told me I saw it on X, and he was like, kind of like speaking on how like, the truth of the of everything, and you were like, I seen that you kind of seen like, oh damn, this is true. Like, you kind of came to a new part of knowledge, but you were surprised that it was like an Arab dude saying the truth, and you were like, damn.
Oh yeah, that, yeah, it's It depends on how you want to interpret, because everyone want to interpret things differently. Like you have your Christians that interpret the Bible this way, and then you have your Jews that interpret the Bible this way, and then you have people, the Muslims, that interpret Quran this way. And in the Quran, it states the land of Israel to the Jews. And that video you're referencing was someone in government, I believe it was Saudi Arabia, and he's saying the same thing.
Right.
You know, he had a little bit more harsher words for Palestinians, but you know, giving a little bit more credit to Israel. But you know what's been happening, this occupation and all this stuff, like genocide my fucking ass, bro. Like it's, and it's rude and disrespectful to you know, cultures that have gone through genocide, Jews or the or Armenians, you know. Like this ain't no fucking genocide, you know. Like it mirrors like ghetto, it like, you know, Warsaw, Poland, where you have a force that's, you know, not your people, that are dictating things, and it's making living conditions very harsh, and it's, you can't really progress. I will, you know, give that. And I think that needs to stop. And I'd love for them to be on their own and to be prosperous. And it is possible, you know, but all the neighboring Arab, several of them do not want that to happen, especially with the Abraham Accords. I think it was a big catalyst to spark off this attack, because they don't want them being cool with Israel. And you got the Houthis riding all over the damn place, you know, blowing ships about the water and, you know, trying to take over. And you know,
there's another thing I tripped out too, that besides the Abraham Accords, I believe it was back in the 70s when Egypt got into their whole, you know, conflict with them. And
the 7-day war, right?
6-day war.
Six-day war. Yeah.
So something that, another thing that, yeah, like you say, history that I learned today.
It happened after they acquired the land.
67. Well, 67. Yeah. It was, that's Israel went on the offense because they saw Egypt was gearing up at the borders, and I think Jordan was gearing up the border, and they were trying to nationalize, take control of the Swiss Canal.
Yeah.
And Israel's like, nah, because I'm not going to get shut down or pay these tariffs to you, and like, and they seized territory.
So that was shortly after, basically, what's it called? They acquired the land.
Which land?
Well, the land that they have now, what the UN stated as their land, basically.
Well, they took Sinai from Egypt, because they took Golan Heights, and they take these places, right? But they know that it's for bargaining to give it back, to have peace or some sort of truce, which is what they got with Egypt. And they gave them back Sinai. They, you know, withdrew their troops, you know, and so that's what I think would be the best plan here. And how beautiful that would be is if, what, you know, Palestine can get everything in order, assistance. And the prime minister from his mouth was saying there needs to be a third party. Israel has way too much value, and we don't have that much value. So we need someone in the middle to broker it. You know, at least we can get it done this time. And he's calling for U.S. He's calling for intervention to help with that.
The U.S. doesn't get involved in that way because of the resources in the area that I feel like resources. They want to be on the winning side in a sense. I think United States is always in the interest of what are we going to get out of it, you know?
Well,
because they don't help nobody out without getting nothing out of it. You know what I'm saying? And it's sad for us to see it like that, but that's the reality of our...
If you show, and I'm not saying this as in like, you know, like they're, you know, bitch made or cowardice, but like, I think that they just want them to have some sort of allegiance with them. Like, you're with us, like you're not going to go against us. You know, they know 100% Israel's with them, you know, and they have other allies surrounding. And so if they can be good... And I think, you know, after hearing the prime minister of Palestine speak, like, they're open to being good, but you have to find the men that are willing to have that peace and that truce, you know?
That I found out about when Egypt, when they made their peace with Israel, was that basically the one in charge of Egypt at that time realized how it'd be more beneficial for them to be in peace and in trade and all that with Israel, rather than at war with them. They'd make more money basically being at peace with them, you know, be able to negotiate and all that. And then that same leader later got shot in Egypt by the opposition in that country because they didn't want that peace and all that stuff. So,
well, that also was the same thing in Israel. I think I forgot, Yitzhak Rabin, I believe, right when they signed for, it was Camp David, if I'm not mistaken, he got shot also by Israeli nationalists on live TV, you know? So there's people that are opposed to.
Yeah, and that's the crazy part. The other thing that I was told too, that when this whole thing went down, like, Egypt didn't open up its doors and say, hey, innocent people and civilians, come over here. We're going to, you know, we're going to aid you. We're going to take you in. They closed their borders to those people too. So it's like, even within their own people, they're like, nah, that's y'all. Like, we're not dealing with y'all either. And it's like, it's a trip.
Egypt, because they had control of Gaza. You know, they were holding on to it, and then they just, they let it go. You know, they didn't want to open up, and because there was issues happening when the Palestinians would take refuge in Jordan and Egypt, and they were in Lebanon, they started coups, bro. Like, they tried to take over the government, yeah, you know? And so
it's just crazy because there's so much history involved in it, and that's why I recommend so much sticky, people bro. To look into it, because at some point too, that region of Palestine was controlled by who? The British.
Right. Oh, yeah, British mandate Palestine, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like all those things people need to look at. Like, that's why, like, yeah, like Enzo said, like, I feel like being around Enzo and being around my dad, too, has always made us, like, a history buffs. And, like, so I feel like it's so important because the more you know about the history of anything, you'll understand yes. what's going on now. And, but, like,
right.
you know what I'm saying?
And correct history, too, because people get their hands on it. They got a bias. They're going to lean towards one way and try to wish-washy the history.
Is it cognitive bias?
Off, bro. Like,
without a doubt.
It's like, okay, maybe you're not Jewish, but, like, doesn't mean you can shit on it and just make up stuff or like you feel like this happened, bro, but that didn't even happen that way, or like you're missing something that's the whole main right. point why this is even happening. Like,
yeah, I always go back to context. Like, mm-hmm. you gotta look at context. It can't just be
nothing comes out of thin air.
Yeah, like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's I always learned, I think it was Bruce Lee said it, any action causes a reaction.
Yeah.
So it's like
Newton's law.
No, but I heard Bruce Lee, the way he said it was just like water, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? But anywho, water. It's like, to think about what we're seeing now, and then like you would even have people saying like, oh, this is biblical, this is revelation, this is, we're going through the end times.
It's
and
also
like,
that, bro.
You know, like, I mean, people throw that into the mix. And like, at first, I ain't gonna front, like the first few weeks, I was shook. I was like, yo, we might be headed towards that, you know? And then after gathering my resources and reading and getting my info again, like gathering up the knowledge, because I feel like everything happens, we're like in cycles.
That's the Christian perspective. Because also from a Jewish perspective, that book was already accomplished during that time.
Boom.
And that's the thing that a lot of people don't understand, right, yeah. is that a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of, like, for example, if you look at the Book of the Prophets and any of those books, the Jewish people take it as something that happened during that time. They don't take it as some prophecy that's going to happen years later.
It already happened.
And it's because if you read the book, most of the things that the prophet is saying happen within the book itself.
Mm-hmm.
But the Christian perspective then looks at Jesus, and then they look at all these prophecies into the future. So it's like all that of like the world's gonna end, you know. Because I've heard of this speech too. How like they were like, oh, this is gonna, you know, detonate, you know, the Armageddon, and you know, it's gonna happen, and look what Russia's going on, and they're getting certain stories of the Book of Revelations, and this is how this can happen, and this can happen. And for me, it's like, well, you're drawing a bunch of conclusions. You know, forcing the connect the dots.
Yeah.
I was like, can it happen during our time? Maybe. But I always go, what if it doesn't? You know, like, well, what if it's not our time? You know, because I know a lot of Christians go like, oh, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I was like, how do you know that's going to happen during your lifetime? Well, what if it doesn't? You know,
I know. You put your smoke in this.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really.
And I always go back into like the Illuminati thinking like they know that story and they just use that to create conflict to like.
And here's the other thing that I always. I always go to this passage of Peter. There's a passage of Peter where I think it's very powerful because Peter talks about the Christian walk, right? The walk with Christ. And he talks about how Paul said a lot of very confusing things that people don't understand, right? Talking about the Apostle Paul, talking mm-hmm. about the mysteries of when Jesus was going to come and all that. And Peter straight up says, like, there's a lot of things that he said that people misunderstand, that are confused about, and they confuse other people because of it. And that he says that's not even the important thing. The important thing is, how are you walking with Christ, right? So when I hear these whole conversations of Jesus is coming and the end is near and they're making all these conclusions, I'm like, this is not even the point of the Bible. This is not even the point of Scripture. This is not even the point of what Christianity is about.
Right. It's not about
Christianity.
It's about becoming a new person.
Christianity is about how are you walking with Christ. It's not about trying to look for like, oh, are these wars going to happen and this going to happen? I feel like some people just go down like rabbit holes trying to connect certain things. Because to me,
these are the Christian conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, because it's not the first time in my lifetime that I've heard this, dude. Yeah, for you. Like I've been hearing this
since 9/11. To be honest,
well, you probably don't know this, Paul, but I grew up in the church, so I've been around Christians my entire life, I've been hearing of Jesus coming back my entire life.
Bro, think about this. I think it's like a fear mongering where they bring more people to the walk by doing.
Think about this though, guys. Like,
not to bash my faith.
This is where I would argue against that. It's like, so then are you accepting Jesus for fire insurance?
That's what I know. I'm not saying that because I feel like I was brought into the fold.
No, because it's like the message is you're gonna go to hell.
Check this out.
Anytime, so it's like if it's out of fear, then are you accepting him for fire insurance or what?
Right, you can check the stats. I might not, but the general population, anytime there's a world tragedy, bro, the churches get filled than any religion.
Yeah, because the thing is that at the end of the day, you're supposed to be connected to a higher power.
We were talking about this earlier.
It's like,
no, we were talking about this
earlier. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yes, we were, sir. Humanity is always trying to find purpose. And if you don't have some sort of religious belief, it's kind of hard to have some sort of purpose.
Yeah, Daddy Yankee.
Because then you're just like a wandering thing, like not believing anything or having that higher power that you can allude to. Raymond?
Yeah. Yeah. Religion is always good. You know, it gives you that base platform of good morals. And it's like if you don't know a purpose in life, or you know, you need a help. And that's what people like the atheists, like they always, you know, shit on God and this, that, and the third. But it's like, who was the first person people turn to when you need to go through sobriety and recovery from drug addiction? You go to God. Where do you go when someone dies in your family and you have a funeral? You go to God, you know? So
when you get on a plane and you want it to land,
you're about to die, bro. You go to God.
Straight up. I spoke to you in life.
I need a solid right now, bro.
When you become a father, you go to fucking God.
There you
bro.
Go. Yeah. There you go.
Like,
blasphemous.
Real talk, because.
What are you talking about?
Like,
you don't go to
God. Knows God. What context I mean that in, like, yo, he knows exactly where my heart is when I meant that phrase, bro, because it's like, bro, it's you give you're so clueless to this.
I don't know if Lord knows that one, bro.
You just be like God, I hope that you
Lord says
just protect my seeds and you giving me my seeds, because they're borrowed, bro. We're all living on borrowed time to begin with, so even when you become a father, you have those kids are your borrowed, they're not yours
technically. Yeah, his scripture says
it's crazy too, though. But like when it comes to, for just talking about religion talk too, I find it fascinating too how our perception of heaven and hell is way different than for it is for like for Jewish people, for example.
Yeah, well, they believe in Sheol.
What is that? Well, I'm not the best of Jews, but yeah, I know there's like, I don't know about living life without a cheeseburger, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like,
most Jews do not have
hamburgers. Cheeseburger or bacon. Like, yeah, there's
no. It's kosher. Yeah, yeah. It's
so
it's because all right. There's this scripture that says you don't mix the milk. Mm-hmm. With the
dairy
meat,
or any meat, yeah.
Meaning that you don't mix the nutrition that a cow or a goat gives, right?
Yeah,
with the meat, because it's
contaminated.
It's contaminated. Mm-hmm. So when you understand that, that's why like they don't eat a cheeseburger, because that's cheese on top of meat. So when it comes
bread
to those
and the
things,
meat, it's fine, just not cheese.
Yeah, no cheese on it.
No or cheese like on it.
Pig.
Also, I'm a Jew then, because I don't even have hamburgers.
Yeah, you don't even get cheeseburger, bro. What's up with that?
Crazy.
More kosher than me.
I'm a brown Israelite, bro.
There you go. Yeah, we all Israelites. Yeah. Exactly.
No, without cheese. I'll get the carne and the fries. Oh, that's gyro. What is that?
Gyro, bro. Geos,
that's Geos.
No, but anywho, that's meat off of a cow's back. First of all. That's not.
I just told you earlier about how I don't like cowards. So,
but you like burgers? Shut up.
Just putting the cow. We know coward.
When it comes to the Jewish religion, heaven and hell is like the same place, right? Is that my
it's something? Along, it's you just know that, better than nah, I would.
So this is the way that my friend.
Like every person ends up there, but the idea is that there's different sections within it. Everybody goes there. Well, everybody goes to Sheol.
The way basically. My friend pointed out to me is that Sheol is the same place, and what you're gonna go do there is to basically study more scripture. And if you like were in tune with that, in the sense of you were like, you know, you said you're a good Jew. it's going to be heaven for you. You're learning more about Judaism. You're studying it. But if you were someone that wasn't practicing, it's going to be like hell for you because now all you're doing is studying.
Right, exactly. It's not looked at the same way as Christians look at what hell is depicted as.
You're at least not burning in inferno, basically.
Yeah, we're chosen, bro. We ain't getting fucked. Come on, man. No. Chosen nonetheless, my boy.
I'm a Gentile. No.
Now, we're just the most, I think what they meant with the chosen part is like you're going to be tested the most. I think that's really what the chosen.
I mean, if you look at scripture, it's basically God was trying to choose a people group to express who he was through that people group. That's the original intent, you know. It's like when you look at it, it just
That's it.
Space war.
And if you look throughout history, the Jews have been tested.
But the other point is that because of sinful nature, they could never fulfill that.
Right.
They could never fulfill what God wanted them to fulfill.
Yeah,
because of their sinful nature. It's like you look at the story of Moses, right? Mm-hmm. He goes to the presence of God. He's getting the Ten Commandments. When he comes down, the people are celebrating and worshiping the cow. Right? You know,
crazy.
That's when you understand it's like they can never fulfill it. And it just that's why like these stories, when you look at them, they're just telling you about human nature and human condition.
Yeah.
Like that's the point of it is for you to learn from the past to understand, okay, how do I better navigate my own life?
It's in my DNA to be a piece of shit, basically.
Well, if you look at
if you look at
the message of Jesus
as a human being, yes,
as a human being, it's a sinful nature, right?
Yes. Right.
To be a piece of shit, and then you find a religion in the Quran or the Torah or the Bible that flips the script, basically.
Because it's about sacrificing, like, for having a cause or a duty. If you just do what you want to do, like sin or have fun and be happy and do what you want to do, it's like
then you're a slave to it.
Right? Yeah. You know,
that's the thing about like what the freedom of being a Christian or a believer, right? Is that you are no longer slave to your desires. When you're a slave to your desires, you cannot be free. You have to know how to control those desires in order to be truly free.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you wanted to, when you were saying like, oh, does it automatically say you're not good?
Yeah, bro, I know exactly what you mean.
No, when you were saying like you're not good, right? So it's like when you look at the message of Jesus, right? Repent, you know, like he's calling for repentance. He's calling for repentance. But if you look at his message is about two things, telling you are not good. And he's also telling you that you're wrong. Those are two things that no human being wants to hear. No human being wants to hear you are not good. All of us here, if you asked us, do you consider yourself a good person? All of us here would say yes. But according to what scripture shows you, it tells you are not a good person. And the other thing it tells you is that you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two things no human being wants to hear. So obviously it's hard to then realize those two things, that you are not a good person, to realize that you are wrong, and then to live your life in a different lifestyle. It's very hard to do because no one wants to admit that.
Oh, yeah.
Because in order to follow it, you would have to admit that first.
Yeah, acknowledge is the first step and then move forward. But some people can't do it.
That's part of 12 steps.
You know, that's why you got to go to get clean. You got to admit that you're the one fucking up and you have a problem.
It's crazy.
That's why no one can even start. You can't even acknowledge that is. But once you get that first, and then you start going through the steps.
It's crazy because like that was like goes back to like what my mentor told me, like, and would like turn on the light in my head. It was like, just find your why.
Mm.
And in finding your why, you start going and digging and you're like, damn, this is why I do this. And then you start admitting to yourself, this is why I'm doing, you know, where you're at. But it's true, man. Without a higher power, a lot of us would be
misguided as hell, bro. You'd be going nowhere.
Well, that's when you can see. If you don't have a God, you give into your desires. Mm-hmm. When you give into your desires, disasters happen.
Yeah,
that's when you just see people doing the craziest thing. It's the same thing. Like if you look at the United States, right? Everybody comes here because they say they want freedom, but is it really freedom? No, it's freedom within a set of rules.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, like you. You're in a free country, but you're not free to rob a car. You know?
Yeah.
Because not that's against the rules.
Not in California, bro.
Not until I get GTA 6.
So,
or San Francisco, you can rob all day long. Ain't giving a shit up there nowadays, bro.
But the analogy is that is, yes, you have freedom in this country, but within a set of rules. And it's the same thing. It's like when you look at religion, it's like, yes, you will have freedom in your life, but it's within these set of rules that allows you to have that freedom.
Do you think kind of like to bring it all together in. Do you think the selling of a game like GTA is corrupting the youth with the type of shit that they... Because this new one, it looks amazing. It looks like... I know I'm a buy it. It's going to be like 120, but I'm buying that. But then I think about it like, damn, like, what is it doing to the kids?
See, they always left that...
First of all, they shouldn't be playing that thing.
Well, yeah. It was always up to the parents' discretion, like whether or not they wanted to have their kids...
Yeah.
You know, but now it's like every kid in the world is going to play it. And then half of them are going to want to, you know, become violent when they grow up. You know, not saying video games cause violence.
I don't think video games made me ever do that. Because I've been playing video games since I was with him. Like, as kids, right? We never robbed a car and fucking busted a GTA. Or I don't know about you, Biden, but I didn't.
No.
Yeah.
He said I picked a couple of hookers up. I plead the fifth. I did not pick up no hookers.
It looked exactly like the GTA hookers, too. Fuck.
I also... Damn, what did I do in the GTA
movie? Well, the thing is, what it does, right?
You ever played that game?
Yeah, but it allows you to play... It allows you to be what you want to be. The things that you cannot normally do.
What you lust for, basically.
What you lust for. And that's what the game exposes. The game is exposing what are your real thoughts and what are your real intentions when you play it. Because then it exposes that out of you.
I think you're taking a little too deep, man.
Well, look.
Bro, I'm going to go on GTA and I'm going to go on a rampage. You're going to be like, oh, this motherfucker is going... Bro, the FBI going to be knocking down the
Are you going to tell me that you don't go there to decompress?
I was about to tell you that right now. I'm going to unburden myself when I play.
Hey, bro, you're going to tell me. Hey, Manny.
Kill the little 5-year-olds walking around, bro.
So you're going to tell me.
No, Sandy.
You're going to tell me that you don't go play FIFA to decompress.
Everybody plays something to decompress. I'm not saying that.
Some people play with themselves, yeah.
But some are more violent than others.
That's the whole point. The whole point
of your... Because I know my brother plays Call of Duty to decompress.
Yeah, I just started...
And headshots ain't too fucking...
Hey, bro, honestly, you can say it is decompressing, but it's not decompressing like, oh, I've been thinking of killing motherfuckers all day.
It's not like I can't wait to shoot someone's head off.
It's more like, honestly, bro,
there are some gamers out there that are just like that.
Yes. I feel like driving a fucking helicopter today.
Yeah. Fucking Aries, bro.
I like this fucking...
I've never felt like because I played these games or fucking any of that shit that I was...
But here's the difference is we're older. We understand that. It depends on the age that you begin it. It depends on like what you were taught, right? Because it goes back to your education.
Just to connect it all together, if you Hamas, maybe you are like, man, I want to kill some motherfuckers today. Just like,
taking notes and shit. You know
what I'm right. Sadly.
You know what I'm saying?
Because they do say that they're like recruiting kids that
play college. Bro, I'm telling you, in the 70s, there's pictures of kids with AKs in their hands and they're like, people fighting now.
Yeah.
But yes, I think that...
Nah, you guys haven't seen that. There's like on Reddit, they were saying that they were recruiting people on Call of Duty and shit. Like,
on any bro, fucking think about war, it this way. We went to go
it's
watch a movie.
Simulation.
We went to go watch a movie about Gran Turismo and how they found simulated players for that.
Simulation.
So I wouldn't doubt it, bro. The thing is that once you're in war, bro, it's like, that's another thing.
Activision needs to chill out and needs to see where they sell these games at, man. Because
Activision needs to bring their
the better maps,
bro. They just gave us, bro, they're selling a game that we got 10 years ago.
Oh, shit.
Modern Warfare 3 is a remake of Modern Warfare 2.
Really?
Yes, bro.
Was that one good back then?
It's tit for tat, bro. There's just people you're playing online with. They're like, how you know I was going to be there? I'm like, bro.
Man, stand on your business.
I've been knowing this map, bro.
This is Rust, my boy.
Yeah,
he is. Exactly.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the games itself cause the violence. Like you said, upbringing
is a lot of
like if you don't give them
principles like, and shit like stuff, that.
Man. The reason I say that is because, man, I don't want to say it like this. Let's just say I know of someone because of playing that game did stuff outside of the game.
Oh, damn. All right. You know us.
Yeah, I've known someone. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't tell you, Ty off here. But that's what I'm saying. It depends on the upbringing and it depends on, like, all right, what were you taught? What are your morals? Because if you're taught a very good education, you can make that distinction of that's a fantasy world.
But there's some kids out there that are just born like SIDS. You know, Toy Story Sid.
Mm.
There's some kids that are just out the box, like
evil, just want to destroy everything. Like, yeah, I mean,
so what you do? What you gonna do, man? If that was your
I'm
kid,
breaking
them like that.
I'm break
you gonna do, man?
I'm break them.
You gonna do what?
Kevin Hart for saying that shit right there.
What?
Whooping his ass?
You gonna take a dollhouse and break it over his head? That's what Kim Rice says? Yeah, out of a different context, but yes, that's what got him.
That's great!
Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
Then he had apologized for the Oscars?
Yeah.
So exactly. If I ever make the Oscar stage, I apologize for saying that thing.
There you go, bro.
Hey, you never know.
Ahead of time.
You got to do one better than Will Smith and just drop an elbow on whoever is you're walking up to. Like,
what do you think about that? Did you see how that was like a 50s replay of something? Did you
guys see that? I think I saw there was a video that was
mirrored. Or is that AI, man?
I don't know.
Like, it could be somebody edited some shit afterwards to make it look like it was
Right. Nah, supposedly it's an older movie.
Yeah, it was. It's in black and white, right?
It's an older movie. There's a scene like that.
Charlie, what's your thought? Because I know you like going down the rabbit hole sometimes.
Because when you look at that slap, bro, it does look like it's staged and somewhat set up, bro. But
look at all the they pulled that rubber band bar back so far that we still talking about the slap, and it's like almost a year later, and Jada's still in the news. Ever since then, that lady has imprinted herself. Well,
the book is what's kept us.
But that's what I'm saying. But everything has been like just like they pulling that rubber band back. I'm telling you, it's gonna be a big ass. Like if Will, God forbid, because that one guy had came out saying some wild shit too. If that shit come out like that, it's. Cause then we got the Diddy situation.
Yeah, like, well, all that shit got dropped already. He paid out that shit.
No, he paid Cassie, but now there's other five other people.
They want their money too.
Oh, it's a whole.
So that's why other people are saying it's a money grab. But then, I don't know, man. From people I cut that are like in the industry, man, it's been saying this shit look questionable.
Well, they caught the Tupac's shooter, right? And he name dropped.
And then he name dropped Diddy too. So it's just like. I don't even know what to believe. But then I think about it, like, what if it's all a distraction from, like, the Middle East conflict or just things like that I'd be thinking, like, are they using these people to, like, distract us from what's really going on in other parts of the world? Like, bro, if you wouldn't have told me of that Venezuela situation, I would have not known.
Mm-hmm. And then it makes so much of that going on.
It makes me think about, damn, like, when I saw the conversation that was going on with Elon Musk, Andrew Tate, Vivek, Pat Bet David was on there, Alex Jones, and they reinstated Alex onto X, Twitter. I was like, bro, like, what's going on with the powers that be? Because that to me right there is like an influential group that was all in conversation. They reported it.
Very, very important.
What do you think about Elon telling F you to all the people?
Bro, what do you think about Iger that?
From Disney. Bobby in the crowd there? Bob, fuck.
What do you think?
Yeah, straight up telling what's up. Because that's also true too, bro. These guys, like, you know, they... In the ad business, and they control a lot of these platforms, bro. Like, you know, like Facebook, Instagram, like all these guys are like left-wing arms, bro. And they're straight up in cahoots with Democrats. Like, I don't give a fuck what anyone says. Like, I saw the whole cancel culture just canceling all these conservative Republican ideology, kicking them off to the point where you have a billionaire like Elon Musk come along and buy out Twitter so that people can have a space to speak honest truth, you know? And like, that's the whole kind of what the whole vibe of the spaces was.
What was Trump's app? What was that shit called?
Truth.
That shit didn't work.
Oh, no, out. Flop. Total flop.
Flop. So it's he tried to do it, but I thank God for Elon Musk saying that because definitely the cancel culture has dried out since he bought it.
Oh, yeah. It's been a great pivot away from it because it was getting scary, bro. Like, they were really trying to shut a lot of fucking, you know, alternate perspectives, really, is all they were. And if it wasn't aligning with their agenda or anything that they got going on, they would quickly shut you down.
You could tell so much when the COVID shit was going on. Like, bro, they were turning
Rumble and Twitter are kind of like the defense from the powers that are just, you know, monopolized social media. And so you're getting, like, Alex Jones' comeback's crazy to hear that, you know, all this shit. Because, I watched his court hearing, too, when he was going through the case with Sandy Hook and everything.
They wanted $900 million,
like a billion, bro. They wanted over billions of dollars from this guy.
They wanted Otani money, bro. Alex Jones, like, wipe my ass, where?
Yeah.
Where are you going to get that Otani money? The Dodgers got that money. Mm-hmm. I ain't got that money.
Not really, sir.
Looks like I do.
They're that down, bro. You know, it's crazy that you say that
because
the economics of that sounds wild to me, bro.
Shohei Ohtani signs with the Dodgers.
They gave him a Benny Bonilla deal?
They gave him $700 million for 10 years. And then we found out today.
The details came out, huh?
That he's getting $2 million a year. And the rest, the other $680 million or something like that is getting deferred
at
the end of his contract. So it makes me think, okay, so they're saying it as like, you're an investment right now. We're going to give you $2 million. And our sales are going to go up. We're going to charge more for tickets. We're going to charge more for concessions, parking, all that stuff. In the next 10 years, we're going to make enough money. Hopefully, they go to the World Series and they win a couple as well in those 10 years. given that they have other guys in their contracts. So they're going to have all that money for sure in the bank to be like, $680 million after in fucking 2020. What is that going to be? 2034?
So they're betting on this guy not getting hurt, though.
Well, he is hurt technically right now.
But he did that.
He can't.
He did that so that he doesn't have to pitch for the Angels because he wanted to conserve his.
I wouldn't doubt it either.
That's what I think.
And honestly, this guy is a huge guy. This guy is not a little.
For this generation, way bigger than Babe Ruth.
This guy is not a little Jose Altuve, right? He's a big guy.
He's a big boy, huh?
Was like an Aaron Judge.
Japanese.
How old is this guy?
We'll figure that out right now. But yeah, that's a lot of money to give a guy.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
But at the same time, I like this guy. I like it though because it's $2 million a year that still gives the Dodgers flexibility to do a lot of
every
stuff.
Every minute, yeah, he's going to make $143. Per second, he's making like $2 and some shit.
No.
That's
this new contract.
No. That breakdown was if he was really going to receive the $700.
No, he's like going to get that regardless, bro. But that's just the breakdown of how much he's getting paid, like, bro. Because that money he's going to get.
But the thing is that the way the contract is now, the way that they explained it, it's not going to be like that.
Obviously, because
he's making $2 million per season.
Bro, if you really think about it, the 10 in a year, you're still getting that whole lot. So
he's doing like a vet contract, bro, for the NBA, bro.
The deferred business comes after the 10 years, though.
And it's with no interest. So,
he got to move state, though.
He's 29 years old.
What? He old fart, too, then. See, that's what I'm talking about. He'll get hurt in the next 5 years, bro. You tripping. They banking on some bullshit right there. If he was like 22 and you give him that
He's a 6'4 Japanese person, bro.
And now I've never seen a 6'4 Japanese. Yao Ming was not durable when he came to the United States, my boy.
He was Chinese, seven, though.
Still Asian. That's what I'm saying.
This guy, I've gotten to see him play and
Japanese
pitch. I went to see him, the Angels play against the Dodgers. I don't think
what? He pitched. I just think it's like they're.
But he batted that day. Like, that guy is no joke.
At that age, bro, we got to be honest. The only guy that's that durable has been LeBron James. It's just, I mean, if we want to talk about like physicality, bro, like we got to understand that, you know, certain demographics of groups are blessed with natural abilities that others aren't. Mm. Like Russian people, I'd be like, oh shit, he might last that long.
I'm gonna say this on the podcast.
Japanese, I don't know, man.
I'm gonna say this on the podcast.
They're smart. Not saying they're not known for brute force, physicality.
Yet they have
flying around the country.
The oldest soccer player in the world in their league, right?
But is he playing in the Premier League?
He's playing in the Japanese league.
That's like still fucking Jones playing at the highest level when he was 39 years. It's crazy, yes, but LeBron James. All right. It's like, all right. You should have said LeBron James because then I would have been like, all right. But you said a Japanese
player. Hey, yo, but listen, let me tell you this about LeBron. I'm very strong about this. And I like LeBron, his leg and everything. But I'm pretty sure in 10 years when Shohei Ohtani's contract is over, there may be a 30-for-30 about LeBron being steroided up in these
things. Nah. Think so?
Bro, he playing crazy, dog. Not going to lie. He's playing
crazy. Look,
given the injuries he's had in the last couple of years since he became a Laker, bro.
He was playing like a 23-year-old.
Crazy. I believe LeBron James is not taking steroids. I believe he's taking... steroids is anything
hormones.
That's enhancing. Yeah, he's taking something like
hormones,
that.
Yeah.
But he's so ahead of the curve because he's in cahoots with the NBA. That
$1 million on there, bro.
Nah, you tripping, bro. That guy's making... If you're saying that the NBA is going to shoot themselves in the foot and let a documentary like that come out years after he's finished,
maybe
bro,
not a documentary.
That's going to hurt the NBA product.
Maybe
like,
not a documentary.
We didn't come from...
I would say allegations and shit like that.
But that's already been coming out. They're saying that Savannah James was out there getting shit for him, bro.
Oh, yeah, just like Peyton Manning's wife was getting shit.
Yeah, bro. So it's like, your boy, you see?
But
that's what I'm saying. When you're at the highest level, Tom Brady was said to have been taking shit this last few years.
I don't know about that.
He has his whole workout regimen that he sells to you that if you want to feel
avocados,
good.
Avocados, bro. Literally, that's what he's an avocado diet. Goes on. I'm not even kidding you. Yeah. That's what his wife had him on, an avocado diet.
That mom?
And that's why Bill Belichick.
Wasn't she a witch or whatever?
Ex-wife, yes.
Wasn't she a witch?
Oh, yeah, I called her a witch too.
Huh? Yeah. But apparently that's why he didn't win the last one.
But Enzo, we had a little argument about this whole in-season tournament thing.
More of a debate.
I think that, yeah, it's cool they won it. But tomorrow they play the Dallas Mavericks, number one team in the Western Conference, bro. There's still a good amount of season left. We're only 23 games into the season, man.
You didn't hear me say this at the because I have a little souvenir I'll show you guys after. But I was telling one of my client Ethan that went to both Laker games in the tournament.
You mean in Vegas or what?
Yeah, he went to both. And I was telling him how, like, I observe the Lakers to seem like if they fucking play like this throughout the rest of the season, we're champions easily. For sure. No doubt. But the thing is that they don't have the incentive to play like that throughout the year. I don't think that, especially like having a guy like AD, he's already got one NBA championship. I don't think he's like hungry to be like, I want to be a two-time NBA champion, you know, or I want to be the MVP of the finals. Like the way they were playing, the way AD played on fucking Saturday made it. I thought he was going to get the MVP, but they gave it to LeBron because he balled out throughout the whole seven games that they, well, how many games did they play in that fucking tournament?
Something like that.
Yeah, they were undefeated.
So they were undefeated, you know? So it's like,
yeah, it's crazy. I haven't been keeping up, but last night, so they won last night, right? I
was on Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was crazy, bro. I've been tuned out.
They're about to get
bro.
A banner, like, and it's like
a special banner.
A special banner. Yeah.
For the first time of winning that.
No, it's not exactly that. They're getting a banner, and then anytime they win it again, they'll add like a patch and like the year number of when they won.
That's fire. That's fire.
What was the category? Because there's different categories. Of, like, or what was the title? I don't even
know. It was just in season tournament.
In season tournament cup. Yeah, they're basically a cup.
So
cup.
My whole thing.
They're trying to do what soccer does.
What was the debate we were having though?
My whole thing though is that the Lakers. That yeah, the end game is not to win the in season tournament. The end game should be to get to the playoffs and not be at the bottom of the totem pole, not be like get half home court advantage.
Say it with your chest.
Don't be in first place.
You said it was to go to the finals and win it all. That's what you said.
I'm saying exactly. So but
you're saying right
now, you gotta put yourself in position to do that. First of all, you don't get to the finals at the end of the season. You have to put yourself in position to be in a good playoff spot.
They're doing
good. Had advantage and get yourself on a good path towards the finals.
They're going to get to the... like I said, if they play the way they've been playing in the whole tournament, they will definitely be a contending team.
We shall see, bro, because there was a game where there's weeks where it was an in-season tournament game, played amazing.
Then lost next the Rockets. Game,
exactly. So what the fuck is that?
The incentive is not the same. When you got guys playing there that are mid-level getting $500K.
So my hope is that now that LeBron played his mind out and got them these guys more money, he can use that as an incentive to be like, now let's ball out the rest of the season so we can get our asses to the finals. Well, that's what I want. That's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm saying. Job's not finished. Yeah, you can be happy about this, but let's not let this get to our heads. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying.
I think regardless, let's say if because barring injury, bro, you I love the hope and the inspiration and the motivation you're speaking. But barring injury, what if that happens? A man at that age. What if LeBron? This was the last thing we couldn't get out of him, and by Christmas game, that groin is pulled and he's done. What then?
So
you're knocking on wood, but that's Father Time is undefeated, and a man that's that age. Although he might be on steroids or hormones or whatever,
I think that's why I'm hoping, like I said, that he uses this so that the guys have bought in, so that the rest of the season doesn't go for him having to put his body through that.
They moved my boy Austin Reeves to the bench, and he's playing well off the bench, but we were supposed to have a third star out of him. So,
I mean, that's why we had talks.
And the Lakers have never solved the problem of what to do when LeBron is no longer in the court.
Right.
I know. Yeah, what's post LeBron look like? You know, what those 2030s Lakers look like? You know what I mean? Like,
we're gonna get the other LeBron,
but James. Paul,
new LeBron. Oh yeah, LeBron.
But like, James. Just before we shift gears, we got the UFC, right? Who do we got this weekend, man? It's just the last UFC card.
Leon Edwards facing Kobe defending Covington. His title versus Leon Kobe Covington.
Okay, that's a fight.
Mega fight.
That's right a fight. See now,
and then we also have Pantoja fighting Royval, I believe. Yeah, for the flyweight title. Yeah,
that's so it. That's a big man.
That's Patty Pimblett, Tony Ferguson.
Oh, that's Tony.
He's got to get his
hardcore. I'm looking forward to that. As we also have Shavkat Rakhmonov versus Steven Wonderboy Thompson. That's the battle of the styles right there. We have a grappler versus a striker. That's going to be really, really good.
We ain't got no official comeback for Conor yet.
I still think we're going to get it at 300.
Yep.
I think 300 is going to be the biggest event.
Are you going
to Anaheim? And then Ian Gary since Luke. Have you guys heard about this Ian Gary shit?
Yeah. Everybody hates him now. Well, he was starting off hot, and then he started talking too much shit, and then still beat Neil.
They found out that he's a cuck, bro.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, yeah, his girl's running his whole...
So she dropped a book calling How to Be a Wag or something like that, and being a wag is basically like... an older woman that gets younger athletes that have money and all that type of shit.
Oh, wow.
So Sean Strickland was exposing this. And I remember when Ian Gary first fought, he was like...
But she didn't just drop the book. The book's been out for a few years. And then she got with her.
Hold on, let me finish. So yeah, when Ian Garry was fighting, he was as Ian Garry as me. He was the new Irish fighter. Oh, dope! I really liked him. Then I know where it was Ian Machado, and I'm like, what the hell? So I'm finding out from Sean Strickland. He's saying that when he married this girl, he took her last name. The last name is from the ex-husband. The ex-husband lives with them. That ex-husband is his dietitian.
Whoa.
Yeah, so they're one big happy family, basically. They're basically one big happy family. What's wrong with that?
Call him a cuck?
Hey, he called him a cuck. And that's what Sean Strickland
is. Adam 22 is a cuck. This guy is just probably facts. Trying to.
Did you see this new reality show picking a goof for a threesome? Bruh. You see that?
That was for a threesome,
bro. It was a dating show to find a second dude to have a three with his girl.
No, that's not a threesome. That's a train, bro.
Or a train. Excuse me, I forgot. Yeah, have that ooh, involved. No, that's
threesome. But if it's two guys, oh shit!
Not if the cock goes beyond.
Oh, 10. I like how he hit his head. No, like it's two.
It's a train.
Any person past.
Wait, like, so it's four guys? I mean, foursome.
Yeah. But so I get it, like, bro, with all that money, it's like, I get it's hard.
His wife with some
fucking... Yeah, bro.
Oh, my God.
Like, yeah, Jason Love was first, and then that kind of opened up, not to, not to me, you know, no pun intended, but opened up the avenues bang. For the multiple.
The next thing he got to do now is a gangbang on his wife for views. That's the next thing up. Where do you go? Where there's no way otherwise from this.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, it's probably what's going to be the new content, just finding dudes to fuck his wife and shit. And it's like, bro, like,
that's why
you made enough already at this point.
This is my last question.
Let's not do all that, bro.
This is my last question.
No, no, before we go there, we're talking about UFC. Who you guys got for UFC? Let's not talk about this bullshit right now. I am not talking about that. Let's finish this UFC talk real quick. No,
my thing was about that.
Because we straight went.
My thing was about
that. Hold this cult culture out here, man.
No, hold up. My thing was about that because Ian Garry if he's considered him a cuck.
Quote unquote.
Quote unquote. Bro, and now he's living with his dietitian. The
ex-husband lives with them, bro.
Exactly. That wouldn't make Ian Garry.
How are you going to tell me that was not hitting, bro?
The Machado guy that's the dietitian that's no longer the husband. That's the cut.
Yeah.
I would bounce.
He's got his wife's last name that belongs to that ex-husband.
Facts.
Damn.
Facts.
That way.
How is that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I would understand, right? If it was like, oh, you know, we're trying to show the kids that we can all coexist.
And right. Though you don't have to take my last name.
What's her last name then?
I don't even know because she has her ex-husband's last name. And then he took hers.
Because what I had heard about that is that that book's been out. And that's why the scandal after that was, bro, you're dating this guy's girl that now your dietitian. Like, and then he's much younger. You know what I'm saying? And then now they had a kid.
And then he's also now he fears for his family coming here to the U.S.
That's what, fight. But that's what you did when you started saying, I don't whip my son's ass. I don't do this. And it's like, bro, you're in a different culture. That's not how it should handle out here. You're not.
And I also feel like he used that to create like his own animosity towards his opponent to make a moment to like, that's really what I feel like it is. You know what I mean? And
so make your picks. Who you got, Byron?
The first one?
Yeah.
Luque.
I think this could be messing with, because there's something when it comes to related to this. He says that how this has pissed him off too. So I think that Ian could lose this fight and Luque could win that. So I might go with Luque as well.
I feel that.
Who you got in that
fight? I got in the Luque fight.
Okay.
But then for the Ferguson one, I got Ferguson. And for Kobe and Leon. Damn, I got Kobe, y'all.
Yeah, Kobe.
I think Leon, way too boring.
Cody Garbrandt's also fighting on this card versus Brian Keller.
Cody, I got Cody on that one.
Josh Emmett versus Bryce Mitchell. I got Bryce Mitchell on that one. Shavkat Rakhmonov. Wait, my bad. Manny, who you got? Vicente or Ian?
Vicente Luque, Tony Ferguson.
Wonderboy or Rakhmonov?
Hold up, Ian Garry. I got Ian Garry against Vicente Luque. My bad. Ian Garry gonna come with the vengeance.
I feel like he's gotten might have gotten to his head too much.
We haven't even seen him talk. Once he said the press conference, and
he has already said how this has pissed him off already.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
I think you're giving it too much. You should be concentrating on the person you're fighting, not someone like Sean Strickland talking about. Oh, I'm about to go up to middleweight now and fuck his ass up. I'm like, bro, you're like. You're not even in the top 10 like that types for like to be saying, oh, you're going to go fight, you know, the middleweight champion now type thing. So that's that. But what about the main event, guys? Who you guys
got? Hold on, bro. I still haven't done with my picks. Rachmaninoff would be my next one. Then Pantoja's keeping that. And then Kobe.
Interesting.
Those are my picks. What are your picks?
I got Luke A. Ferguson, Wonder Boy, Royval, and Kobe.
All right, I got Ian, Tony, Rachmaninoff. He's going to be Steven so bad. And I got Alexander, and then I got Kobe.
Yep, that's my
one. I got Luke A., Ferguson, Thompson, Pantoja, and Edwards.
Don't take my betting advice. I am not a leader.
Enzo, you say you got Pantoja too?
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah, Pantoja is going to keep that.
He got to run it back with
Brandon.
Brandon.
Interesting. Who you got any of these?
I'll probably do the same as Enzo. I'll keep the same Kobe at the end.
Kobe.
Yeah,
that was gonna be an interesting fight. I think
shout out to Ferguson though, man. Fucking,
I want him to be Patty, bro.
Yeah, Patty is, he's really what good.
It's because I feel like the UFC is catering to him to be like their next Wonder Boy.
Yeah,
I'm like, I would just like to see Ferguson take him down a notch,
Sad to see BJ Penn go. In his last, all these old cats,
Yeah. I think, though, when it comes to that main event, if Leon is able to stuff those takedowns, it could be a different fight, though. I think that's where it is. But if he gets put on his ass in that first round and he can't get back up, then I think that, Kobe's going to dominate the fight. That's really where it is there. With the Pantoja fight, seeing the way he fought Brandon this last time, bro, I feel like
that was a very close fight, though.
He fights very reckless, though. Like, super reckless. Look, to me, I was very surprised, too, that Brandon lost that fight. And that's why, they should run it back. But if Brandon can go in there, be a little more, technical, I feel, I think he can pull that off. That's why I got him. Ferguson, bro. If you guys all want Ferguson to win that, I won with this. How do you guys want Ferguson to win this?
By knockout, of course.
Mm-hmm. You want to see the knockout.
Or a submission.
I want to see him get a submission.
Whatever his move was when he was fucking in his peak.
Honestly, what I would like to see is ground and pound.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys ever saw his fight with Anthony Pettis, bro. Like, that fool opened Anthony Pettis up with those elbows. Like, that'd be sick.
Yeah, he has vicious elbows.
And no hate against Patty, but it'd be a very interesting one. Because I think this is no walk in the park for Patty at all. And whatnot. So, last card of the year. Merab and Henry Cejudo just got announced for Anaheim. Paul, you should definitely check this week. Yeah, it's pre-sale for Anaheim.
When is it?
UFC 297 in, what is that? February, 298, sorry. February 17th here in Anaheim.
Honda 17th, okay. Dang, maybe. We'll see what's up with it.
Bro, I'm trying to. But you guys need it. We all need to go that. Pre-sale is Thursday, y'all.
Before we wrap it up, man, I just got one question for you, Paul. She's too young if she don't know what?
You guys come up with these questions. She's too young if she don't know. She's too young if she
don't know who 50 Cent is.
She's too young if she don't know 50 Cent. Oh, hell yeah, she's too young.
If she don't know. If she doesn't know Logic, I'll say that, bro.
Damn.
If she don't know Logic, she's too young.
Immature, bro.
And there are some women in their 30s right now that don't know any fucking Logic.
They don't even know left from right. They'd be like, what street is this?
I'll help you find your Logic, baby. That's about it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what street this is.
She can't name all the characters from the old McDonald's, all the ones that came out. She's too young.
If she, bro, I can't even name those.
You're too young for me, then, Manny.
The Logic, I didn't mean to come.
Yeah. Excuse me. Thanks for the clarification. Not actual logic. I mean, actual logical reasoning behind your arguments and your positionings of whatever your feels like surface level fucking bullshit circulating.
And this is when all the girls who are young, they're like, huh?
Yeah.
Like, what Logic?
It's okay, baby.
She don't know.
She don't know the Gremlins.
The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air by heart. She's too young.
Yes.
At least the beginning of it. Fuck. Give me at least that.
This is the story.
She didn't watch Carrusel de Niños, dog.
If she don't remember Jose Luis Sin Censura,
oh, she's too young for
the dog. She's not Hispanic.
If she never seen...
True.
Whoa. If she's... Damn, you're putting yourself in a box there, buddy.
I'm saying that because...
Put herself in a box right there.
What do you mean? How am I putting myself in a box?
How many? Basically saying that.
So that was the Hispanic version, bro, of Jerry Springer. Yes. That's why I'm dying over here. That
was the extra Jerry Springer, bro.
I'll say that to you. Yeah, Jerry Springer. The Maury Show. If you never saw, if you never saw the girls running out, because they just found out that he's not the father, and then the cameraman had to. If you never saw Maury, like, have you ever seen the episodes when girls had these, or these people had these ridiculous fears? Yeah. This girl was scared of fucking mustard.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. Scared of pickles. Crazy, weird shit.
You know what I mean? You know, remember that shit? Get out of my face.
You guys remember
the shows of the Blind Date?
Yeah, Blind Date, yeah, all day, yeah.
Cheaters was my favorite.
Cheaters.
The Spanish version, Secretos. Secretos was the Spanish version.
If she didn't watch Tales from the Crypt after Mad TV, then she's too young.
If she don't know who Carson Daly is, she's too young.
Carson Daly?
If she don't know you're afraid of the dark,
if she never seen Goosebumps, she's too young. If she never seen the OG Exorcist, she's too young.
She never used the sidekick.
If she never had a flip phone, she doesn't know.
If she didn't have a razor.
If she doesn't know the song, the Pokemon theme song, the first one, she's too young. The first one.
If she doesn't know
that Logan Paul was on Disney Channel at one point, she's too young. If she don't remember the Friday song, she's too young for you.
That song's annoying. My coworker still plays that on Friday.
If she doesn't know that Ice Cube was actually a rapper before, she's too young.
Yeah.
If she didn't know Drake was in Degrassi, she's too young for you.
Oh, that's a great one too. Shit, that's a great one.
Yeah.
If she didn't see Justin Timberlake open up Janet Jackson's titty, she's too young for you. If she didn't know who Brother Love was before Diddy or Puff Daddy, she's too young for you.
Yeah.
The same guy. That's with it, a different folks. Name.
Have a good one. Peace.